You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network.
Today on Support for This Podcast.
Interestingly, I think this phrase, again, mm-hmm. we just need to only go back to the phrase. Mm-hmm. It's not saying to work extremely hard. Mm-hmm. It's not saying to work yourself into a pulp. It's saying
work hard. Yeah.
And do that. And do that. Uh-huh. Honestly, truly.
Yes.
Work hard.
Yeah.
And play hard.
Right.
But nothing to any extreme.
We speak to Trip Cricket, the great-nephew of the man who coined the phrase, work hard, play hard. We'll find out his ideal work-to-play ratio, as well as what excites him about his job as a Tupperware designer.
I'll tell you, I've created a line where every single base fits inside the larger base, but instead of just the one lid sealing over the larger lid, all of the smaller lids also seal within each of the larger containers.
Join us, won't you? I'm Emily Amy Lauren Becca, and this is Support for This Podcast.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to Support for This Podcast. We're thrilled to be here with the one and only Trip Cricket. Now, some of you may recognize that name, some of you may not, but Trip, why don't you start off by telling us what your family is known for? What's your claim to fame?
Well, it isn't really... it's hard because I don't want to take personal ownership over it.
Oh.
But my great uncle, he invented the phrase... work hard, play hard, which I'm sure all of your listeners are very familiar with.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, yeah.
Wow.
He's an inspirational figure for a lot of reasons, but it's been challenging and also really thrilling to carry on.
To be his great-nephew?
That's correct, yeah.
Mm.
Yeah.
It's kind of nice, that phrase, great-nephew. It's like, it sounds like a compliment.
Sure. No, yeah, great in more ways than one.
Right, exactly. Who knows? He could have thought of you as his average great-nephew.
I don't think so.
Oh. So what was his name?
His name was Mark. His name is not Cricket, actually.
Oh.
He married into our family.
So just to clarify, he took your aunt's last name, your
grandmother's. My grandmother's. Last name. That's right.
He took her name.
That's right.
That's interesting.
Yeah. She would have been the last of the Cricket family's children and was only a daughter. So in order to keep the Cricket name alive, he had three brothers. He very selflessly gave up his surname.
What a beautiful gesture.
Took the name Cricket. Right.
Unless he was running from a crime or something and didn't want to be tracked down.
Mm-hmm. He had a complicated past.
Oh.
But he was a good man at his core, I believe.
Sure. Now, do you know the origin story? How did he first come up with the phrase, work hard, play hard?
Well, it is pretty much just as it sounds. He was an extremely hard worker. Mm. He was known for his work ethic and also... like to play just as hard.
Oh.
And when people used to criticize how much he used to play, he would often say, you can play this hard as long as you work as hard as I do, which doesn't really roll off the tongue and eventually became condensed into play this hard if you work this hard. And then, you know, over time,
of course, it got
shortened and swapped and has now since become... sort of a very foundational American ideal, I think.
Yes, yes.
I think everyone can agree.
Right.
And, you know, this wasn't ever licensed in any official way.
Mm-hmm.
So when people assume that I'm some sort of heir to the work hard, play hard fortune, I have to correct them that, in fact, there is no fortune to be claimed. But there is personal wealth in knowing that I'm part of the family line that has inspired so many people.
Yeah, I don't have any relatives who've coined a phrase.
I'm so sorry.
My husband's family, he doesn't have that either.
Oh, he doesn't?
No. He's lacking in a few areas.
Oh, is he?
Mm-hmm. Now, okay, so you're not able to be an heir to the throne. You're not a Hilton or something,
for instance.
It's too bad that they didn't have Etsy or those little T-shirts that say, like, I'd rather be with my dog or something. Because
right.
if that were the case.
Yeah, if it had even just been printed once, I think you'd have some sort of lofty claim there.
Right, right. It's too bad that that wasn't happening. Now, let me ask you this.
Yeah.
Is it something that you... I know that we're talking about it freely, but is it something that you reveal to people? Do you kind of keep it to yourself? And then eventually, once you trust someone, do you let them know? Is it something you'd say on a first date, for example?
Well, I have often been accused of working a little too hard and not playing hard enough. So it is a little complicated for me because I feel like I lead by example because I find my work very playful as well.
Oh.
So I think I sort of kill two birds with one stone.
And what is it you do?
I design Tupperware.
Wow. That's fabulous.
Thank you. And I think you must agree, quite playful.
Yeah. Well, sure. Are there unconventional shapes?
Are there conventional Tupperware shapes?
Yeah, I'd say
at this point there are.
Oh.
But have there always been?
Well, no, I guess not. The first Tupperware would have been.
Right.
I guess back in the day, they wouldn't have stored much at all.
Just one shape.
Right.
And
or
just one color.
Eat this animal's leg before it expires.
Sure, that also.
And then maybe eventually it would be, I don't know, I'm just picturing burlap sacks full of things.
And the food doesn't hold very well.
No.
In burlap.
No.
So it's both sort of scientific, but also, I believe, very artful.
Sure. I do derive a certain kind of satisfaction organizing my Tupperware. Sometimes I can't find a certain lid and it really, wow, the rage, it comes out then.
From you?
Mm-hmm.
You get very rageful.
Well, where's that lid? Where is it?
I'll tell you.
Where did he put it?
I have created... Who?
My husband.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'll tell you, I've created a line where every single base fits inside the larger base, but instead of just the one lid sealing over the larger lid, all of the smaller lids also seal within each of the larger containers.
Oh my gosh. It's like a kangaroo carrying a baby in its papoose.
It's exactly like that. And that's sort of how I explained it to my general manager, who has not come to appreciate the idea as much as I have, which is why these haven't seen the light of day. But they are stunning and streamlined and extremely satisfying.
Wow.
Yeah.
It sounds like maybe you work harder than you play.
That's right. Well, that's how it seems to many outsiders.
Mm-hmm.
And I would insist that I'm getting a healthy dose of both sides of that in my work.
Sure.
Support for this podcast is brought to you by Vanderpump Schools. Introducing the brand new LA-based charter school from Lisa Vanderpump. Wondering how you can parlay your life as a waiter / actor / model / DJ / singer / blackout drunk / trumpet player into a career as a full-time reality TV star? Well, wonder no more. Simply enroll at your local Vanderpump school and learn the 10 commandments of lasting Vander fame. Classes include how to be the Stassi of your friend group, the art of the haircut, and when to cheat with your best friend's boyfriend. Classes are also available online in case you're on bed rest while recovering from the boob job your boyfriend gave you as a present to himself. Vanderpump Schools. Laugh all you want, but those waiters make hundreds of thousands of dollars a year and have had more seasons than The Wire and Breaking Bad.
If people don't know about your great uncle, do you mention it or do you just kind of, if it comes up, if someone says, what are you doing Saturday night? And you say, oh, I'll be doing a seventh rendering of my latest Tupperware. Mm-hmm. And they'll say, Ugh, Trip, you just, you know, work hard, play hard, emphasis on play.
Right, right.
You just...
Well, my closest friends, they do like to sort of razz me about my my work ethic. But I think they know the satisfaction that I get out of that. And I think I play a little bit.
Sure.
From time to time, I think I make my way out on the town. And I find some fun things to do from time to time.
Yeah.
So.
Well, and sometimes our friends can see us more truthfully than we even realize.
Exactly right.
they can shine a mirror and show us things that we...
that you wouldn't have even seen yourself.
Didn't want to see.
Or didn't want to see, sure.
Definitely didn't want to see.
Is that about my playfulness? Because I think that my friends do think that I play hard. I think that they
Yeah,
know
no, I wasn't talking about you.
Oh.
But I'm sure you have very supportive friends.
I do.
Is there someone else in your life?
I do have somebody. It's sort of new, so I don't want to talk about it. But you know
Yeah,
how,
keep it to yourself. Don't share.
Oh.
I mean, tell me about it.
Oh, okay. Well, you know how it is in the dawning age of relationships when everything is so exciting and the possibilities are so endless. I'm really excited about it at this moment, but I'd rather not discuss it. Just in, you know, I don't want to get ahead of myself.
Sure.
In case she's listening, I don't know.
Right. Well, hopefully she is. Hopefully she will listen and be a supportive partner. It helps when your partner listens to your work.
Yes.
Now, okay. So you're. Oh, bless you. You're.
It was a call.
Well, I felt like that phrase would make you feel more comfortable.
I appreciate.
I reflexively said it.
Yeah. Well, blessings are welcome. In any case.
Sure.
But
Thank
I
you.
Didn't sneeze.
Okay. And if you did, you're safe to do that here.
Thank you for saying that.
Mm-hmm. But if don't sneeze on the microphone.
No, sure.
If you can avoid it.
Understood.
Sure. Now, your great uncle mm-hmm. created this really kind of American iconic catchphrase, work
yes.
hard, play hard.
Yeah.
It's employed by most of the people that come to mind initially in my mind are the finance, the bros, mm-hmm. the hyper-masculine kind of guys.
Sure.
Do you think that that's, am I right in that estimation?
That sounds right to my ear.
Mm-hmm.
I think it applies more broadly than mm-hmm. that, but mm-hmm. It applies to anybody who holds a job that requires an immense amount of their attention and
mm-hmm.
energy.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, that's what my uncle stood for.
Right.
And
right. It seems like it's both, the phrase is kind of comforting, like mm-hmm. it encourages people to play hard, but it also simultaneously reminds them to work hard.
Well, that's interesting you bring that up because mm-hmm. I feel like the phrase is often abused because I think it has come to be a sort of justification for play.
Yeah.
But that comes without the first part,
mm-hmm.
which is the arguably more important part.
Right. Millennials.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah.
Play, play, play.
Yeah, you don't have to tell me.
Play so much. Play all the time. Hardly work.
Right, yeah.
No, yeah. That's... Stay at home and Netflix and, you know, chill. Make up phrases and stickers and put them on your snaps.
Yeah, that's yep, that's right.
But do they hold down a job?
Right. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to offend you.
No. Now, coming from this family where this phrase came from, have you invented any phrases?
Oh.
No pressure. I haven't.
That makes me seem like sort of a failure, doesn't
no.
it?
So the short answer is no.
No.
Okay.
So I'm sort of hanging my head in shame. I know no one can see me, but
no. Hey, I'm sorry. You're a humble man, Trip Cricket.
Thank you so much.
And there's something to be admired in that.
My family would beg to differ. We have several pavement pounding creators in
wow.
our family, and.
But you've created a new Tupperware.
You know, I sort of thought that was enough.
It is enough. It's more than enough. Let's change the subject because I can see that you're getting upset.
Support for this podcast is brought to you by Barely Audible. Let's face it, books are boring. Cliff's notes are condensed, but you still have to read them. And audiobooks? Getting warmer, but wowza, are they time-consuming. Well, now there's Barely Audible, the very first Cliff's Notes for audiobooks. Honestly, who has the time these days to devour an entire book? But we get it. Some people are managing to read the hottest, latest novels, and they've read all the classics. You know, the ones you skipped in high school because you were too busy trying to fit in. And now, in an ironic twist, you want to fit in with the reading crowd. Well, stress no more.
Using the same A-list actors that recorded the full version of the book, you can now listen to the abridged, or should we say, extremely abridged version. In about 10 minutes, they'll give you a full synopsis of the book in an easy-to-understand style. They'll also provide you with 5 key moments in detail so that you can make it seem like you've read the book if someone happens to bring it up at a dinner party. And most importantly, each recording also comes with 15, yes, 15 pivot points that turn the discussion of the book in another direction in case you get trapped in a conversation and you're about to get caught. So, if you haven't read The Goldfinch yet and it's becoming a burden, don't worry. Barely Audible's got your back. Ear. Get your first recording free with offer code PST. Barely Audible. Hear ye, hear ye. I'm going to just rattle off a few phrases that I really enjoy.
Sure.
And I'd love to know what you think of them.
Sure.
That's the way the cookie crumbles.
Ugh, that's terrible.
Yeah. What? Why?
I haven't heard that before, but I don't like it.
Oh.
I don't like the sound of it.
Oh. Do you like cookies?
I do, yeah.
Okay.
That's why I think imagining them crumbling.
It makes you sad.
Yeah.
It is what it is.
Mm. It doesn't embody working hard. It doesn't embody playing hard.
Right.
It embodies sitting around.
Yeah.
And
stasis.
Accepting.
I'm sorry. I didn't mean to interrupt you.
It's intensely frustrating.
Happy wife, happy life.
Mm-hmm. I believe in that one. I think so.
Mm-hmm.
I think there's a lot to be said for...
I think that phrase is actually steeped in patriarchy.
Oh, sure.
Because as if... So what? Happy wife, happy life. Like, I got to keep my wife happy because if I don't, she's so kooky crazy, I got to monitor her moods, then I'll be okay. As if the man has no issues of their own.
Well, I suppose in this day and age, you could swap out the operative gender.
Yeah, but then what? Happy husband, happy... Nothing rhymes with husband.
No, nothing does.
Can one do something harder than work or play? Can one do something the hardest?
Hmm.
Let's break that down.
Yeah, please.
Okay, so I think what I meant, reading back through my notes, and you know, the impulse strikes you, and I write down these notes, and I just think, wow, this is the question, and then you read it back, and you think, too many lattes that day, Emily.
Sure, we've all been there.
By lattes, I mean Cabernet.
Oh, that's... Not a latte at all, is it?
No. Can one... Okay, so work hard, play hard. Could you do something more than hard? Could you work too hard?
Well, interestingly, I think this phrase, again, mm-hmm. we just need to only go back to the phrase.
Mm-hmm.
It's not saying to work extremely hard.
Mm-hmm.
It's not saying to work yourself into a pulp. It's saying,
work hard. Yeah.
And do that. And do that.
Uh-huh.
Honestly, truly.
Yes.
Work hard.
Yeah.
And play hard.
Right.
But nothing to any extreme.
Sure. I picture people saying work hard, play hard while on a floaty with drinks in their hand, like in a pool in Las Vegas or something.
Mm.
I can just picture someone with Ray-Ban saying, work hard, play hard.
I mean, in that case, are they working hard?
No, they're playing
they're
hard.
They're playing hard. I suppose they could be party promoters or something, in which case that's also...
Oh, then it does get confusing, doesn't it?
Hard work. Well, now you understand my frustration.
Exactly.
I do think, however, my great uncle would be beside himself to see how bastardized that phrase has become, because he worked so hard.
Mm. And what is it he did?
Well, there's no easy way to say this. Grievous human rights violations notwithstanding, no one can take away from him his work ethic.
Oh, wow. If someone were to use the phrase work hard, play hard, but replace work, W-O-R-K, with a commonly used W-E-R-Q, so work hard, play hard, does your family still claim ownership to that?
Does that spelling mean the same thing as... W-O-R-K?
It's a slightly different meaning. It's kind of inherently more fun.
Oh, uh-huh.
Like work, W-E-R-Q.
So less work and more play.
Mm, it does kind of muddy the phrase then, doesn't it?
Sure. So maybe that's sort of like repeating play hard, play hard.
Yeah, it sounds like...
It's more just about the play.
Which makes sense since work is kind of a millennial thing. So those dang millennials.
There we are again.
What do you miss most about your great uncle? If he were alive today, what would you want him?
Oh, he's alive.
Oh.
Yes, he's currently serving a life sentence for his crimes against humanity.
Oh, well, that.
But I do still miss him.
Oh, what do you think about the phrase "Saturdays are for the boys"?
Huh, I'm not familiar with that one.
Oh,
but I guess Saturdays could be for the boys. Or the boys and girls, or just the girls. I guess Saturdays are kind of an anything goes kind of day.
Oh, that kind of brings me to my next question, which is these phrases are kind of ubiquitous. We say them all the time. Mm. They're somehow comforting, but it's almost like they also mean nothing.
I would tend to disagree.
Oh.
Because I am part of a lineage that celebrates, I think, a particularly meaningful phrase. But sure, Saturdays are for the boys seems to mean almost nothing at all.
Sometimes on the show, I don't know if you've listened, but we like to do rapid fire questions.
Oh, no, I haven't listened.
Oh, it's available on iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts.
Okay.
Your favorite place to work?
Tupperware.
Let me clarify. Mm-hmm. Your favorite place to work?
Oh, sure. The place where I design my Tupperware,
Is
my studio. Which is my garage.
Oh.
Which isn't a studio. It's just my garage.
Oh.
I didn't mean to overstate it.
No. I mean,
it's pretty simple.
If you call it a studio, I think that makes it a studio.
Oh.
But
thank you for seeing it that way.
Yeah. What is a studio anyway?
I think it's my garage.
Right. Favorite place to play?
My basement.
Oh. Well, it's an honor to get to speak to you.
And you as well. Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you, Tripp. Thank you. Thank you, Tripp Cricket.
To take a closer look into Tripp Cricket's Tupperware designs, you can find him online at www.tuppityTupTup.com. Be sure to check out what I thought was his most fascinating design, a Tupperware container in the shape of a corkscrew. I'm Emily Amy Lauren Becca. Thanks for listening, and as always, for supporting Support for This Podcast.
Hey, it's Leslie Odom Jr. here on the Broadway Podcast Network to tell you about the RISE Theater Directory, a program of Maestro Music. RISE is a national online resource designed to connect and empower backstage and administrative and creative theater professionals from underrepresented backgrounds. If you work or aspire to work in the theater community, this can help you find your next project. And if you hire theater professionals, search the RISE Theater Directory to find your next team. Create your profile now and get more information by visiting risetheater.org. That's theater with an RISETHEATRE.org, because only together we rise.